the Papal Palace at Avignon, or, as the French have it, the Palais des Papes, the place where, for 68 years in the 14th century, the Catholic Church didn't run from Rome. It ran from a fortress on a cliff above the river Rhône. 7 popes lived here, 3 antipopes added their own claim during the schism, and the building they built, and rebuilt, and extended, is the largest Gothic palace ever constructed in Europe. 15,000 square meters of floor space, walls 4 meters thick, 12 defensive towers. Welcome to the most outrageous papal residence in history that wasn't actually in Rome. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes of background before you get there. Not because the Palais needs a thesis to be enjoyed, but because if you don't know how the popes ended up in Provence, the whole place looks like a fortress with no army. Once you do know, every chapel and treasury reveals itself. So, how did the popes get here? The short version, French politics. In 1305, the Roman cardinals couldn't agree on a successor and elected a Frenchman, Bertrand de Gaud, Pope Clement Firth. Clement was a southerner, his health was poor, and the journey to Rome was, in his words, terrible. He stayed in France. The next year, he formally moved the papal court to Avignon, technically because Avignon was not part of France. It belonged to the Angevin kings of Naples, with the Pope as nominal overlord. So a French Pope, on French-speaking soil, but technically not under the French crown. Wonderful medieval geography. Clement and his successors, all Frenchmen, kept finding reasons not to go back. Crusades to plan, disputes to settle, plague. The Black Death arrived in 1348 and did not encourage long journeys. By the time the 7th Avignon Pope, Gregory XI, finally returned to Rome in 1377, the Avignon Papacy had lasted longer than most popes' entire reigns. What you're about to walk into was built in 2 phases. The first half, what historians call the Old Palace, was built by Benedict XII, a former Cistercian monk with austere taste. It looks like a Cistercian abbey converted into a fortress, because that's essentially what he commissioned. Plain, defensive, ascetic. Then his successor, Clement VI, took one look at it and went the other way completely. Clement was a French aristocrat by birth, a brilliant patron of the arts, and quite possibly the most extravagant pope in history. He doubled the size of the palace, added the Grand Audience Hall, the Stag Room with its famous frescoes of hunting scenes, and the Pope's Chamber painted in deep, gem-like blue with golden vines. Same building, 2 completely different ideas about what a pope should be. The result is a fortress on the outside and a palace on the inside. Soldier above ground, courtier below. A few things to look for when you're inside. The histopad is included with your ticket. That's the Avignon Tourism Tablet. Use it. The palace is mostly bare today. In 1791, during the French Revolution, the building was looted, the frescoes whitewashed, the stone stripped, and for a century afterwards it served as a barracks. The histopad reconstructs each of the 25 rooms in full augmented reality color, as it looked when the popes lived there. The Pope's Chamber in particular is staggering when you see what was actually on those walls. In the Chapelle Saint-Jean, look at the surviving frescoes by Matteo Giovannetti, an Italian painter Clement VI imported specifically because he wanted his palace decorated by the best artists of the Italian 14th century. They are some of the only intact frescoes left. In the Stag Room, the Chambre du Cerf, you'll see hunting scenes painted around 1345. They are not religious, they are the Pope's private apartments, and Clement VI had them painted with falconers, fishermen, and hounds, because this is what he wanted to look at while he ate breakfast. Pope as Provençal country lord. 2 stories the guides tell most often. First, the treasury. There are still flagstones in the lower vault that are slightly raised, where the great chests of Avignon papal gold used to sit. The tax revenues of half of Christendom were warehoused under this floor for 60 years. When Gregory XI finally returned to Rome in 1377, he took the gold with him, but he couldn't take the stains in the stone where it had rested. Second, the Festival d'Avignon. Every July, the Cour d'Honneur, the great central courtyard, becomes one of the most important theatre venues in France. It has done so since 1947. If you walk into the courtyard in mid-July, you may find banks of wooden seating already going up for the night's performance. Ariane Mnouchkine has staged work here, Patrice Chéreau staged Hamlet here in 1988. The theatre festival is the second life of this building. That's most of what you need. One last thing, when you walk out at the end, take the stairs up to the Pope's Garden and the upper terrace. From up there you can see the Rhône, the Pont Saint-Bénézet, the Bridge of the Children's Song, and on a clear day, the foothills of the Luberon. It is the view the Popes had. 670 years on, almost nothing in it has changed.